Our study tonight is out of Mark chapter 7, verses 14 to 23, Christ's work to correct a legalistic view of spiritual defilement. We learn in our first lesson in this series that Mark's gospel presents the perfect service of God's perfect servant Jesus, with Mark's focus of having rebounded unto upright service from personal failure. Well, at times such failure arises from artificial spirituality caused by adopting a false legalistic view of spiritual defilement, a view that makes external matters determine spiritual life when internal matters really do so. So Jesus countered this false view of spiritual defilement in Mark chapter 7, 14 to 23, and we view it for our insight. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 14 and going to verse 23. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man, that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning this parable. And he said unto them, Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it enters not into his heart, but into the stomach, and it goes out into the drought, purging all meats. And he said, That which comes out of the man, that defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Okay, very interesting. Having shown in the first 13 verses of this chapter, in Mark chapter 7, that the error that the Hebrew elders had in setting up human rules that undermine God's commands in Scripture, Jesus then addressed the specific issue that his Pharisee and scribe critics had leveled at him in his letting his disciples eat with unwashed hands, allegedly sinning in such a violation of the elder rule. So the elders held this rule that you had to wash your hands before meals, washing cups and pots, even tables. Otherwise, you were sinning because you were violating the rule of the elders. So eventually, of course, Jesus showed, as we saw last week, that they were making up rules that actually countermanded the Word of God itself. Well, on this whole issue of a person being defiled by that which affects him from the outside, Jesus addressed this. So Jesus called all the people around him to tell every one of them to hear and understand his teaching on true versus errant legalistic views of spiritual defilement. Jesus then taught the parable that nothing outside of a man that can enter into him can spiritually defile him, but that such defilement proceeds from within the man himself. Now, Mark 7:16, that verse about having ears to hear is absent from important Alexandrian witnesses. Alexandrian, that would be a whole school of manuscripts. And it appears to be a scribal gloss that is derived perhaps from Mark 4:9 or Mark 4:23. And was introduced as an appropriate sequel to verse 14. This is according to Bruce Metzger, who's a world authority on this. Actually, whether verse 16 appears in the text or doesn't, it doesn't affect the flow of thought, so I'm not even going to address the issue. It doesn't matter. However, without explaining this point to the crowd, Jesus entered a house. So his disciples approached him to ask the meaning of this parable on defilement. And Jesus responded in Mark chapter 7, verses 18 to 23 as follows. Jesus first asked his disciples, So then are you also, that is like the scribes and the Pharisees, without understanding? So even the disciples were spiritually hardened and not understanding the truth, hardened likely due to the pressure to conform to the rules of the elders without question, much as the stony ground in the parable of the sower, where fear of persecution or affliction for the sake of God's word drowned out the truth in favor of legalism. If you go back to Mark chapter 4, I think we have this, Mark chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, where Jesus gave this particular parable. he's explaining the parable of the sower. In verse 16, he says, "These are they that likewise which are sown on the stony ground, who when they've heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, but having no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. But afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." There was a tremendous amount of peer pressure on the Jewish people at the time to go along with the rules of the elders. And so if you didn't go along with the rules of the elders, you felt uncomfortable, and everybody around you made you feel uncomfortable as well. So that's what he's talking about, the persecution factor. Well, accordingly, the Lord Jesus graciously explained to his disciples that whatever enters a man from the outside cannot defile him. For such food does not enter into his heart to affect his morality, but into his stomach. And from the stomach, the food is eventually eliminated from the body as waste material. In effect, Jesus was declaring all foods to be innately clean, that means clean within themselves. And this set the stage for the New Testament church's era, where all foods are edible. Now, it's interesting, the Jews were still under the law, and we'll discuss this in a little bit. They were still under the law. They couldn't eat pork and crayfish and things like that. But Jesus was here saying that there's nothing innately evil about pork meat. There's nothing innately evil about eating crayfish or any of these animals. In fact, that's why in the church era, the whole diet changes. You'll remember in Acts chapter 10, 9 through 17, Peter was on the rooftop, and he saw a vision where a sheet was let down from heaven with all sorts of unclean animals. And there was a command from God that said, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." This is at the noontime. And Peter said, "No, I've never eaten anything unclean." So the sheet goes up to heaven, then it comes down the second time, and the Lord says the same thing. Then it comes down the third time. And with Peter, the Lord always worked in threes. Ever since his threefold denial, he had to have a threefold confession of the faith back at the men's breakfast. Well, here the Lord's working with him three times. So he gets a point that he's supposed to change his diet. It's open. And then 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1-5, Paul says, all foods are edible, providing they be received with thanksgiving and prayer. So it's interesting, in the church era, the diet changes. We can go back and we can eat all of these various foods. So Jesus himself here was indicating there's nothing innately wrong with the food itself. Now, on the other hand, Jesus revealed that what comes out of a man defiles him. For from the heart proceeds evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. That's to quote the New International Version, which I believe is more correct on the definitions. These things that coming from within a sinful heart spiritually defile a man in God's estimation. Now, to address this whole thing about the diet that the Jews were under, it is true that Jesus spoke to people under the law, and the law forbade them from eating certain kinds of meat like pork. In fact, Leviticus chapter 11, verse 7 specifically forbade them from eating pork. But Jesus did not here teach them to violate the law. Rather, he taught that the defilement that came to a Jew who ate unclean food was caused not by the food itself, but by the rebellious heart that acted in disobedience to God. It wasn't the issue of pork itself. Pork was not innately evil. But if a Jew knowingly ate pork when he knew Leviticus chapter 11, verse 7 said, don't eat pork, he was sinning because he was eating in violation of the Lord. And that's what made it sin. It wasn't the fact that the pork itself was innately evil. So you relax. You can eat bacon, you know. It's not innately evil. But in those days, we believe it was. And apparently, the animals that the Jews were forbidden from eating, these were animals that were very important to pagans and paganism. So it was part of their testimony not to eat those animals. A lot of these animals were predator animals that would eat. They would attack other animals, and they would lap up some of the blood and so forth. Well, that was a practice in paganism. To prolong your life, you would eat the blood of an animal that was still living, so you'd live longer. We don't do that. We don't even think of that today. But when God gave the law, it was important for them to take a stand against the paganism of the day. So that's why they had these dietary laws. That's what we believe. So Jesus in Mark 7, 14 to 23 merely taught that the laws, dietary laws, were to be heeded not because the forbidden foods were in evil themselves or innately evil, but because Scripture forbade them from eating these foods. So Jesus taught that spiritual defilement cannot occur by an external source entering into a person, a false legalistic view of contamination, but from the sin within man's heart when he disobeys the word of God. So may we cease holding to false views of defilement that make external entities in themselves produce spiritual defilement. We need to yield to the word of God's definition of right and wrong and apply it from the heart. May we also accept all edible creation as edible for our diet today as Christians, for we are no longer under the jurisdiction of the law and its dietary restrictions. Acts 10, 9 to 17, that's Peter on the rooftop, and 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 5, where Paul says, all things are lawful, providing we eat them with prayer and with thanksgiving. So, let me use the issue of bacon, whether or not to eat bacon. If we say that we cannot eat bacon due to Leviticus chapter 11, then we're legalistic. However, a person might have problems with cholesterol, and the doctor says you can't eat bacon because of your health. That's a different reason. That's not involved in legalism. That's a health issue. So ideally, we can eat bacon providing it's in moderation, providing our health is not a block to that. But we have a man in our church who recently had a heart attack. Bacon is something that he's not supposed to be around. So he's got to watch it. We have another wonderful illustration in something that happened tonight. One of the songs that was selected is What Child Is This? Beautiful Christmas carol. Well, if you notice in the footnote of the hymn book, it says to the tune of Green Sleeves. Green Sleeves was an old English tune, and it was an English tune about immorality. I didn't know this until I got to college, secular college, and the teacher, a professor, shared it with me, and I was shocked because I love that song, love that tune. And for a while, I found it was difficult for me to sing that song because of that. But then I realized, you know, Don, you're putting yourself under legalism. How many people in the church even know that? When the people sing the song, What Child Is This?, they think of the beautiful melody, and they think of the song, What Child Is This? We're not thinking of something that goes way back into English history. So to put myself under that burden and make myself feel guilty simply because that was the historical origin of that particular song is something that becomes legalism, because that can't defile me. I'm not thinking about when I sing the song. I'm thinking about honoring Jesus Christ, who was born and put in the manger. So it's not that which comes our way and enters in. It's what comes from the heart. Now, on the other hand, if you sing that song thinking of with the origin of that tune and, you know, dwelling upon that and harboring that thought in your heart, then it becomes wrong. Then it becomes evil. And that's what the Lord doesn't like. So it's not what comes from the outside in. It's what comes from the inside out. What's the motive? What's the attitude? And that makes all the difference in the world.